In the Warren County Radio Bible School, we're studying an old Sunday school lesson that E.A. Elam prepared for the Sunday schools of September the 11th, 1927. And this is about the time when Solomon dedicated the temple. I'm going to be reading the text in just a moment from 1 Kings chapter 8. And then we'll continue with this lesson beginning in 1 Kings chapter 8. And verse 6. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And with that, let's get to the lesson text. 1 Kings chapter 8, I'm going to read verses 6 through 11. The priest brought in the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah unto its place, into the oracle of the house, to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread forth their wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubim covered the ark and the staves thereof above. And the staves were so long that the ends of the staves were seen from the holy place before the oracle, but they were not seen without. And there they are unto this day. And there was nothing in the ark, save the two tables of stone which Moses put there at Horeb, when Jehovah made a covenant with the children of Israel, when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of Jehovah, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of Jehovah filled the house of Jehovah. Well, the priest brought the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah into its place. Now, for the dimensions and the description of this place, you can find that in 1 Kings chapter 6. It was called the Oracle because there, above the Ark, between the wings of the cherubim, God promised to reveal himself to his people. There's a description of the cherubim and their situation also in 1 Kings chapter 6. The staves were placed through the rings in the ark in order to carry it, and they were never to be removed. In putting the ark in its place, in the most holy place, it was necessary to draw out the staves to some extent so that the ends projected into the holy place, but could not be seen without that place, so that they remained. The ark was made to contain the tables of stone, and hence it is called the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah. Hence these stones were placed in it and kept there. In it were also placed a pot of manna and Aaron's rod that budded. And it is not stated what became of the pot of manna or of the rod. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, after they'd placed the ark in the holy place and had come out of the temple, that the cloud filled the house of Jehovah, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. For the glory of Jehovah filled the house of Jehovah. This was the cloud in which God frequently appeared to the Israelites, and which concealed his glory. For no man could look directly on him and live. With this cloud, God covered the tent of meeting and filled it with his glory when Moses had set up the tabernacle in its completion. God did this to show that he had accepted the tabernacle and then the temple as his dwelling place on earth, or at least representative of that. God fills his spiritual temple with his glory when Jesus finished it. We read about the Holy Spirit coming to the church, Acts chapter 2, how he now dwells in it, 1 Corinthians 3 and Ephesians 2. Solomon built the temple after the divine pattern, and then God accepted it and took up his abode in it, and there met with and blessed the people. And he now meets with and blesses us in his spiritual temple, the church, that which Christ built. Now the dedication we read in 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 62 and 63. It says, "The king and all Israel with him offered sacrifices before Jehovah. And Solomon offered for the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he offered unto Jehovah, 22,000 oxen, 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the children of Israel dedicated to the house of Jehovah." In connection with this, we could study that prayer that Solomon prayed. This is found in 1 Kings 8, verses 22 through 66, and then in 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and 7. It is a most beautiful prayer. "For these services, Solomon had made a brazen scaffold, 5 cubits long, and 5 cubits broad, and 3 cubits high, and had set it in the midst of the court. This he occupied during the dedicatory services. When the cloud filled the house, he faced the temple and spoke to Jehovah in the language of 1 Kings 8, 12 through 13. Then he turned his face again to the audience and blessed all the assembly and recounted what God had said to David concerning this house. Solomon then stood before the altar of Jehovah in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven and offered this dedicatory prayer." From verse 54 and from 2 Chronicles 6:13, we learn that he stood on his knees and prayed. He thanked God for what he had done for David and himself in making them king. He prayed that indeed the house might be a place for God's name, that his eyes would be open toward it continually, that he would hear the prayer offered there, or if his people could not reach there, that they would hear the prayer offered toward that house. Solomon also prayed for the foreigner who had come in there for Jehovah's sake. Then Solomon arose from his knees and stood and blessed the people and called upon them to thank God for what he had done for them. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of Jehovah filled the house. This showed that God had heard Solomon. This filled the assembly with reverence and awe. They bowed their face to the ground and worshiped God. Then Solomon and the assembly offered a great number of peace offerings. The fat of the peace offerings was burned, and the right shoulder and breast were given to the priest, and the rest was eaten. Solomon's sacrifice of peace offerings was 20,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. This was a great feast, and many animals were necessary. The altar of burnt offering was too small to receive the burnt offerings, the meal offerings, and the fat of the peace offerings. So, in the middle of the court, there was hollowed out for this purpose. This was a grand and great service to the Israelites. The spiritual temple of God, the church of Christ, is dedicated to God by the blood of the Lamb of God. Dedicating Solomon's temple is no precedent for dedicating houses of worship now. Well, that brings us to the end of that Sunday school lesson. But there's 3 little poems right here before the next lesson begins. This one by Charlotte Elliott. "I take my pilgrim staff anew, life's path untrodden to pursue. Thy guiding eye, my Lord, I view. My times are in thy hand. Throughout the year, my heavenly friend, on thy best guidance I depend. From its commencement to its end. My times are in thy hand. The next was by Lucy Larcom. Hand in hand with angels, through this world we go. Brighter eyes are on us than we blind ones know. Tender voices cheer us than we deaf will own. Never, walking heavenward, can we walk alone. And then this one has no author, it just simply says selected. It's called Slander. A whisper broke the air, a soft, light tone, and low, yet barbed with shame and woe. Now might it only perish there, no further go. Ah, me! A quick and eager ear caught up the little meaning sound. Another voice has breathed it clear, and so it travels round, from ear to lip, from lip to ear, until it reached the gentle heart, and that it broke. I turn the page in my little Sunday school lesson, and I come to a lesson that E.A. Elam had prepared for the Sunday schools of September the 18th, 1927, about the kingdom divided. The text is 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 12 through 20. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king bade, saying, Come unto me again the third day. And the king answered the people roughly, and forsook the counsel of the old men which they had given him, and spake to them after the counsel of the young men, saying, My father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to your yoke. My father chastened you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. So the king hearkened not unto the people, for it was a thing brought about of Jehovah, that he might establish his word, which Jehovah spake by Ahijah the Shilohite to Jeroboam the son of Nebat. And when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, What portion have we here in David? Neither have we any inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Now see to thine own house, David. So Israel departed to their tents. But as for the children of Israel that dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. Then King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was over the men subject to the task work, and all Israel stoned him to death with stones. And King Rehoboam made speed to get him up to the chariot and to flee to Jerusalem. So Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. And it came to pass, when all Israel heard that Jeroboam was returned, that they sent and called him into the congregation, made him king over all Israel. There was none that followed the house of David, but the tribe of Judah only. The golden text for this lesson is Proverbs 6 and verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. The devotional reading is Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 through 26. Wisdom crieth aloud in the street. She uttereth her voice in the broad places. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, at the entrance of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And scoffers delight them in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye have refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man hath regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh in the day of your calamity, and I will mock when your fear cometh. Now,